Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am, but Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello, High Rollers is an adventure set in D&D Hell, so will almost certainly contain adult content. Enjoy.
The following has been brought to you by the makers of Bumble Dung Jam. Hey, pal, looks like you're in a jam. A Bumble Dung Jam. That's really good jam. Really good, extremely addictive, possibly narcotic jam. What do you say, satisfied customer?
I am a customer of Bumble Dung Jam, and I am very satisfied. There, I've said it. Will you let my sister go now?
No. So rush out right now with the speed of a cheetah strapped to a slightly faster cheetah, and buy some Bumble Dung Jam. Bumble Dung Jam. Careful.
Hello and welcome to the next episode of Hell or High Rollers! Yay! Yay! I am absolutely thrilled for several reasons. The first being, for those of you that don't know, the Happy Boys and myself are all back in the same room.
I know! Yeah.
Yet again.
Since January?
Such a joy. Last episode we did was in March.
Wow, that's cool.
Together.
Oh, wow.
That's mad. And for those of you binging this, that doesn't mean anything. So hi! You cheeky little binger. And the other thing I'm very excited to say is that this episode will go out close to our 1 year anniversary.
Yeah.
Oh, High Rollers has been going for one full year.
That's very good.
It's flown by.
That really
thanks
has.
To those who actually have listened to it.
Yeah, thanks, yes. Guys.
We thought this would just all be for us.
And for our 1 year anniversary, I just want to share my thanks with everyone who, first of all, everyone in this room. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
You're very welcome.
More importantly, thank you to our Patreon subscribers and all of our wonderful audience. We've had some amazing feedback from you guys, amazing artwork, amazing gifts and GIFs. And just to say a huge thank you to everyone that continues to support us, because we really could not do this without you. Thank you.
Thank you, everybody.
Special thank you to the guy at the theatre the other day who recognised me and Ellie and said, are you Helly Roll Highs?
That was a good moment. We knew what he meant.
Yeah. Ellie, all
right. I'm very excited to start with our facts. So let's go around. Ellie, why don't you go first?
Oh my goodness. Hello. My name is Ellie Morris and I play Ghoul, who is a 5-inch tall, adorable, campestry creature. My little fact today about Ghoul is Halloween themed. So Ghoul, every Halloween for the whole week surrounding the day, he wears a little acorn shell as armor on his body. He sleeps in it, he eats in it, he never takes it off because he is so terrified of someone carving him like a pumpkin.
Oh, no.
He saw it once and it's just stuck with him.
Oh, wow. No.
Yeah.
Very sweet.
Hi, I'm Adam Megiddo and I play the role of Eric Sanguinius, the human necromancer who lives alone in the high-vis tower in the Rodney Marsh. It's the 1 year anniversary of our broadcasts.
Remember, he does
run a radio station from the tower.
Yeah, of course, it's more of a broadcast than a podcast. The tower.
But it's also the 20th anniversary of him forming a close harmony group called the Helly High Tones.
Nice. Very good. You know, you've just dug yourself a hole for extra content.
Well, you don't have to keep this in.
No,
will.
Now it's definitely staying.
If anyone can do that content, it's you.
Yeah. Hello, my name is Chris Leask, and I play the character of Glubrick Bumbledung, who is a barbarian Goliath. And I don't have a 1 year anniversary or Halloween.
I didn't think about it.
But what I will say is, so
what you will say?
What I will say is nothing. What I will say is that, so while Glubrick has been hurtling through the portal onto the now the sixth layer, he's had a bit of food stuck in his tooth for the last six layers. He got it at the Obsidian Castle when there was like a buffet. It was a chicken wing. He ate it. And there's been a bit of bone that's been stuck in his tooth and it's been driving him insane. But while he's been going through the portal, it's just suddenly dislodged itself. So he feels brilliant.
Wow.
Top of the world.
Ghoul's going to take credit for that.
Yeah, exactly. So just, you know, he's feeling good. That's how we're going to start this episode.
That's nice.
Yeah.
I look forward to that performance.
You're welcome.
Hello, I'm Henry Shields, and I play Henley Whispers, a.k.a. Mr. Yumness.
Is that a Tumnus reference?
That's a Mr. Tumnus reference, Mr. Yumness. Human Ranger, Tune Hummer, Every Known Fear Overcomer.
Every known fear.
Yeah, this is his Halloween-themed fact. Henley, through exposure therapy, sought to make himself immune to every possible phobia that he could think of. So he covered himself in spiders and snakes and scorpions and bees and rats and squeezed himself into a small space, which was a barrel, and then immersed himself in deep water.
At the same time?
At the same time, yeah. Oh. That's what happened. Unfortunately, it didn't work. It failed. And all it did was give him all of those phobias. He's now afraid of all of those things.
You're afraid of every known thing.
Yeah, and not only that, because it failed, it compounded his biggest phobia, his fear of failure.
Oh, no!
Nice!
Oh, my gosh. Nice.
What listeners can't appreciate is that the way that we've got the setup here today is that I can't really see Shields' face. I can just see his eyes.
I have to take a picture
because
that is so silly.
So I could just see the joy in his eyes as he was saying he's scared of everything. Well, on that spooky Halloween note, should we begin the next episode of Hell or High Roller?
Yay! Yay!
Happy boys, we last left you as you were hurtling through a portal and you explored the depths of Ghoul's mind, which was very exciting, and we learned a lot of things about Ghoul. But as you fly through the air, you are whipped and twisted and you're leaving behind the sort of jumbled chaos of Ghoul's mind, and you crash down onto a soft, grainy ground as a shower of sand kicks up upon your impact. And getting up slowly to your feet, you look around to see it is a vast desert. The scorched skies beam with great infernal heat upon your bodies, and the sand underfoot is very hot.
Oh,
ouch! Oh God.
It's hot! It's hot!
I quickly pick up Ghoul.
What?
And,
no, do you?
You're not
no, I don't! No, I don't!
Okay, so...
Immediately!
First moment.
Yeah, no, because in the last episode we had, we obviously
we
gave
you
a
touch.
Hug, so I forgot.
Yeah, damn it, forgot.
Instant potential
so,
kill.
Absolutely just to say as well, this is kind of segued perfectly, because I forgot to mention in the introduction, you have all been leveled up to level 6.
Yeah.
However, that does mean you take 6 d6 damage now.
Because my infernal curse goes up.
So don't worry, listeners, we're gonna cut out, we're going to jump to all of the rolls.
Incessant rolling.
Keep them coming. Just keep
Come
it rolling.
On, Chris.
Just keep it rolling, Chris.
17.
That's 17 damage.
17 damage off the bat. Great.
Ugh. Great.
Oh, sorry, Glubrick. Gosh, don't you just miss my mind? Should we just go back?
No. God, that journey through the portal took forever. It feels like we've been in there for 6 weeks.
Yeah.
Very good. Yeah.
Which layer of hell is this? I've lost count.
Six.
Is it?
Yeah. Well, in character, Ellie looked at me. It was like six.
Six?
Eric, would you like to roll a history check for me?
Ghoul is just jumping up and down.
Yeah, and
the ground is so hot.
Tried to touch you as well, and now my hands are burning and my feet are burning. I'm just kind of like...
flailing.
Like, you're flailing around, just trying to find shade.
Good mood has evaporated immediately.
Yeah.
Henley takes off his towel, revealing himself, unfortunately, but he holds it out for Ghoul to hop onto, like
oh,
a
love
little...
that. Oh,
we can carry it
so
like a palanquin. Is that the word? Palanquin?
I like that
word. Like a little hammock.
Yeah, that's
a little mushroom hammock.
Like a mushroom hammock is a better one.
Great.
Palanquin. Is that the right word?
I don't know, but let's look it up. I like it.
Palanquin, isn't that where like you have two people on the front holding and
that sort of thing? That's what I imagine.
Everybody, snap, snap.
Yeah, I grab the other side while still like jumping around.
Yeah, so Henley and Glubrick each get the front and the back of the towel and hold it out so Gore can be carried around like a sultan.
Bounce me!
I love how in my description I was just like, oh, you're in a desert and the sand is hot. I love how you guys have just run with this.
Sand being hot in the world. Such a problem.
I move away from the group and look towards the horizon meaningfully.
Very good.
And I make a 17 on my history roll.
Oh, nice. So you know that this is the sixth layer of hell.
This is the sixth layer of hell.
And it is called Malbolge.
Malbolge.
It's called what now?
It's called what?
It's a Swedish level. Swedish desert land.
Swedish. Yeah, okay. It's a Swedish desert land.
Everyone we meet's got to be Swedish now.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Swedish desert land filled with scavengers and war machines. You remember that there are mighty games and contests happen on this layer, and games that draw the attention of creatures from all planes of existence. The arch devil of this layer, because you rolled so high, is the Princess of Hell.
Whoa.
She is Asmodeus' daughter.
Ooh.
And her name is Commander Girl.
Ooh.
You also know that she is the driver of a vehicle called the Demented One, and she is the leader of the Clay Devils. You also see that in the distance is a vast mountain range, and the mountain range you can see has a huge, like the size of the mountain. It is a huge petrified face covered, and it looks like the mountain is covered in blood. And you know the entire mountain range is the mangled body, the petrified body of the previous archdevil called the Countess.
Oh.
Oh, wow.
Is the entire horizon, is the mountain range of the previous archdevil.
Oh, wow.
So Commander Girl must have like killed them. And they're taken over, and then now they've become a mountain range.
Wow.
That's beautiful.
Wow.
That's like really giving back
like
to
Moana.
Like the environment. You know what I mean? That's kind of like
an evil
so
version
great.
Of Moana. Yeah.
Like a hell version of Moana. Yeah.
Yeah, wow.
Wow.
Yeah.
I just realised as well, we're jumping around, it's really hot, but haven't we got shoes on? Well, aren't we just fine?
Do we have shoes? I have shoes.
I assume you guys have all got shoes.
I think we just, like, psychology, like, we just saw it was hot, and then, like, it's just really affected us, but it shouldn't have.
I mean, you say that. I mean, Ghoul doesn't have any shoes, so he's burning on the sand.
We're just jumping around.
I didn't do that at all. That was just you,
it's
Matt.
Just me. Okay. It's quite unsettling for Glubrick, to be fair. But Ghoul, are you okay?
I'm all right. Happy boys, how are all of you? I think we need a check-in.
This is just like as you're lying.
Yeah, he's like
lying down
with his arms behind his head.
I'm fine. I mean, like, we've been in your brain, like,
yeah,
it felt amazing actually, because I've never been that small before, and it really made me see it from someone else's point of view, because I'm always taller than everyone. It's made me realize how being that small, you really can see up my nostrils quite a lot.
Oh yeah,
it's
there's a lot exposing. Of good stuff in there.
Mm. Yeah. Oh.
you got it. what about you, Henley?
I'm wistful.
You wistful?
I'm feeling wistful. I'm a little worried about the hole I drilled in my son's soul coin. I'm starting to regret doing that. I feel like I may have fucked him up a bit. So that's making me wistful.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know what? If I've learned anything from being trapped inside my mind with all of you, it's that we can get through anything together. Well, how are you, Eric?
I feel optimistic for the first time in I don't know how long. There you can see the horizon. Here we know about this plane, and if we can make our way to the seventh plane, well, then we are almost out of hell.
I for one have never wanted to escape hell more. Now that I've seen Fungus for who he really is and have a group that accepts me, I want nothing more than to get back to the real world and enact my revenge upon him.
Ooh. Oh, revenge. Okay. If that's what you took from that.
Yeah.
Blood shall have blood.
That whole journey through your mind, Ghoul, that's what you came away with? Like revenge is the point?
Revenge, kill him. I wasn't it more about just like accepting yourself, that it's okay for your good and bad qualities?
Yeah, I accept my bad qualities entirely. He will die.
Yep, fair enough.
Okay, fair enough. We're back on that arc again.
Very wise. Wise words indeed. We have now all been in each other's minds, except, I believe, for yours, Henley.
And you don't want to be in there. My God, it's full of whist.
It has been a disturbing time. Ghoul being in the depths of your mind. Glubrich, the width of yours. Perhaps we shall make our way across this desert. And we may escape such horrors in the future.
Eric, do we have any idea where the portal might be? You're the kind of brains.
Good question. Let me make another history roll. 21, Games Master.
Great. So yeah, with your knowledge of the sixth layer, you know that Commander Girl, every time travellers come to the layer to seek the portal, she puts on a huge race. And the only way to get through the portal is to defeat Commander Girl in a race to the portal.
We must defeat the daughter of Asmodeus in a race.
Like a running race?
I fear we will need some sort of vehicle.
Oh, a vehicle?
Like a tricycle?
Yeah, what kind of vehicle?
Like that. And I point across the plane.
And as you point over, you hear the low rumbling of engines. And in the near distance, you're sort of in like a... It is a desert, but there's a sort of ramshackle kind of village. And you just see loads of orcs doing wheelies and sort of doing donuts and spinning around on motorbikes and on all these kind of like rusted, crazy, infernal machines. And to the side of them is they're kind of doing it around this massive, what looks like a kind of scrapyard with old, rusted, infernal machines, got a kind of chain link fence around it. And there's sort of like lots of a whooping and a hollering.
Right. Well, should we go over to this little quaint village? Is it a village?
It's kind of like, it's a sort of, I'm trying to describe it. Think of like Mad Max, if you found like...
So not quaint.
No, not quaint.
It's really not quaint.
It's like kind of like sharp wooden spikes and sort of canvas. Like huts and shacks and stuff like that.
Nice. Should we wander over to the spiky little
huts? Let us go and find out. Beware, some of them may be Swedish.
Unfortunately, I fear now they are. Yeah.
Let's see if we can find a good massage somewhere here.
So as you approach this kind of cool village, this kind of ramshackle, not quite village, the sun, the heat is bearing down on you, and you guys are carrying Ghoul in the palanquin towel. Henley just swinging free, approaching the village.
Yep.
And
it's quite a choice, isn't it?
It's a choice.
Well, you got to protect your mushroom, guys.
And as you approach, these orcs on doing the wheelies, they don't really pay you much attention. They just have a whooping and a hollering, having a great time. And there's kind of little goings on in the village. There's people kind of selling bits and pieces. There's people kind of selling car parts and all this kind of stuff.
We need somewhere we can put together a car. Look, an IKEA.
Yeah, and you look over and the kind of scrap yard with the chain link fence has because I'm not sure if we can use IKEA, we'll call it Helkia. And the A is just kind of hanging off and swinging in the non-existent breeze.
Ooh.
Spooky, Halloween spooky.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
Can we see if... I feel like there would be a shop... Before we go into Helkia, I feel like there would be a shop that might sell sort of something to put for a mushroom to wear.
Protect from the heat, yeah. Yeah, is there a clothing store or anything around?
Yeah, sure, yeah.
There's like a little bag.
Little clothing shop. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so I bounce. Well, we go up all together because you're carrying me.
We present Ghoul on his palanquin.
Yeah, nice. And you see the shopkeeper is a sort of quite friendly looking tiefling, a kind of red skin, big horns, devil tail. Hello there.
Hi.
Oh, hi.
Hi.
I was wondering, do you have anything to protect me from the heat of the sand?
You guys want protection from the heat, huh? You've come to the wrong layers.
Have you got anything?
Oh yeah, we've got sort of rags and hats.
Guys, do we have any? Excuse me, do not listen to this.
Okay, and he covers his ears.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it sounds so powerful.
Yeah. So
guys, do we have any money at all? We don't have cash. What are we going to trade?
Do we have cash? No.
I don't think we do.
Tell you what, while we're having this conversation, I try and just shoplift.
Nice.
And seeing this...
He's such a nice guy.
I'm going to, like, realise that's it, and I'm going to be like, oh, and try and distract him. And be like, so, what's your favourite type of heat?
Nice. So roll me a deception check.
Is that nice? That was quite bad.
No, I enjoyed your trying. So roll me a deception check with advantage.
That's a natural one.
With advantage.
Thank God. 10.
10. Yeah, I'm going to say he's sort of like mildly interested, but luckily for you, the reason I gave you advantage is because this guy loves heat. And he's just like, okay, well, let me tell you about my favorite kind of heat. And unfortunately, you won't get advantage on your sleight of hand check, Shields.
Okay, so while he's distracting, can I have a look around just quickly and see what there is to steal?
Yeah, great. So roll me a perception check.
15.
Okay, yeah, I'll tell you what, I'm going to drop in. Okay, great. So you spot, of all the kind of like rags and sort of bits of desert equipment, you see a little tortoise that catches your eye.
Oh. Ooh, aww. A little tortoise.
Yeah, yeah.
You're friends with the seal. Do we still have the seal?
You do have the seal of fate.
I have the seal of approval, right? No.
Seal of approval you no longer have. That way, if you did, it's no longer useful.
Okay. I'm going to steal a tortoise. Why not?
Sure.
How small is this tortoise?
It's like, it's not like one of those giant ones. It's like a kind of, almost like a terrapin.
Okay, perfect. There's a turtle, a tortoise mount for Ghoul. He can ride
around
on.
You can ride around.
Yeah, yeah.
I want a pet tortoise.
Roll me a sleight of hand check.
Okay. 19.
19. Yeah, you successfully swipe the tortoise.
Ooh.
And this is something that I've been asked to put in by producer Gareth Tempest, because we had one of our Patreons back at Christmas
won
a competition, and the competition was to put an item into the main story. And quite honestly, listeners, Gaz and I forgot.
patiently.
They've stopped listening.
Like it's appeared at tortoise speed.
Yeah. The tortoise has arrived in the story.
It's been following you guys from layer one, and it's finally got here.
Oh my God. But this tortoise is going to be big news.
Yeah.
So this is called the Tortoise of Wisdom. And Henley, as you pick it up in your hands, it's a small tortoise with wise and understanding eyes. And this tortoise, while it's in your possession, your wisdom modifier increases by 2.
Ooh, my God, that's really good.
Oh.
While you're touching the tortoise, you also gain the guidance cantrip, which you can cast at will. If the tortoise would take any damage, it retreats into its shell for 1 hour to recover, and you lose all of those attributes.
Okay. Oh, wow. Poor tortoise.
The tortoise, and this is specifically what it says here. The tortoise, and you can do what you want with this, Henley, because it's your tortoise. The tortoise is the perfect size for Ghoul to ride.
Oh, wow.
But has a movement speed of only 5 foot per round.
but what does
I'm
going
to say in combat, you can only move 5 foot per round. But out of combat, we'll say the tortoise can keep up.
Right,
yay!
Right.
Yeah.
The tortoise can be safely carried in a bag or backpack. And I'm going to say, because this was, I think, given to us back before the infernal curse was bestowed upon Ghoul.
Yes.
I'm going to say that
it's immune to it.
It's immune.
Well, maybe it shuts the shell.
The shell protects the tortoise
just
from the infernal curse.
Just pet it on the head.
Yeah.
Pet it on the head.
So you now have the Tortoise of Wisdom in your possession.
Oh,
and as you pick up the tortoise, you just hear the shopkeeper just talking to Glubrick, being like, and there's dry heat, and there's wet heat.
And I'm not really listening. I've just got the biggest smile on my face, hoping that he notices that there's no bit of food in my teeth anymore.
And he does. He does. He's just like, you know, your teeth are really clean.
I know. Thank you so much. These pearly whites, they are finally, I've got ridden of some food.
Nice talking to you. Bye.
Suddenly, Henley's feeling incredibly wise, and he just, his eyes widen, and he looks at Eric and says, a tortoise in the hand is worth 2 in the bush, and then walks away.
Eric is baffled.
As are we all.
So
it's baffling, yes. We should walk away.
Let's walk away. I think we should.
What I was going for. We should move away.
We're moving away. We'll follow Henley.
Great.
Yeah, I follow Henley with great curiosity. Why is everyone behaving so strangely?
What you got, Henley?
I nabbed a tortoise.
That would be an awful thing to race.
Also, out of context, you guys have gone to buy something, and all you've seen is Henley walk away and be like, guys, I stole a tortoise.
Yeah.
Well, like, it'd be like, what are you on?
I stole a tortoise.
The slowest thing you could have stolen.
I know, but what? Look, I put it down in the sand, and I say, Ghoul, hop aboard.
What? Me?
We wouldn't get on it.
All right. Okay.
We tilt the towel so that you can slide down onto the tortoise's back.
I slide down onto it. Oh my goodness! I love him!
Ghoul is very, very excited.
And now you're on the tortoise.
Oh my gosh.
So it pokes its little head out of you and it turns its wise eyes towards you. And it just gives you like a really tiny, very slow, just like it sort of blinks its eyes. Its mouth does a little smile and it just sort of nods very gently at you. And then just looks out to the horizon, prepared, ready to walk.
I feel his wisdom.
And you now have a +2 to wisdom. And I believe your wisdom is already 20, which is maxed out.
Oh my God, it does make you insanely wise.
So your now wisdom is now 22. So you have a +6 modifier. I don't even know if that's possible, but I'm going to say it is.
I think it is allowed in D&D, but I mean, it makes you really powerful.
Yeah, man.
All right. Well, thanks, Henley. I will call him Kelvis Mesley.
Kelvis Mesley.
Yeah,
Kelvis and you just Mesley. Hear from the little talks, it goes, uh-huh.
Yes, let's now find something faster.
And as Eric says that, the tortoise starts just walking off towards the scrapyard. He just goes, this way, baby.
Ah, yes. The tortoise is wise and is leading us to the scrapyard. Here we may find the bits that we can assemble into a great machine.
Indeed. And, you know, he may not be the fastest tortoise in the world, but perhaps he teaches us a lesson about this race. Slow and steady wins the race. Yes. That's
the
tortoise.
That's so good.
Exactly. That's the tortoise way.
Yes. Unfortunately, we're competing against the daughter of Asmodeus.
Yes. Yes.
She's probably quite fast.
In the demented world, no less. So we should certainly bear that in mind as we move through our platitudes.
And as you are riding the tortoise, as you hear Eric say the hare, you just hear the tortoise briefly shake with rage. Ooh. And then it subsides.
Ooh.
Oh, it doesn't like the hare.
Backstory.
Which was that tortoise?
So are we going to IKEA?
Helkia.
Helkia.
Or the scrapyard. Is that the same thing?
Scrapyard, yeah.
Okay, yeah.
We go.
Now, remember here, the system is very complicated. You can't just get the thing off the shelf. You have to take it... and then take the number to a catalogue. And then someone has to go into the warehouse and find what it is that you want. It will test our patience.
We must be careful. There are no windows in Helkia. Time moves differently here.
Okay, I love... I've sort of like written the scrapyard, but now it is IKEA, isn't it? This is
it
great.
Should just
okay.
be a big warehouse.
Yeah.
So as you approach the scrapyard, it was a chain link fence, but I was mistaken. It's not. It's a huge warehouse building with sort of bright fluorescent lights.
Yeah.
You go up to like a set of revolving doors.
Maybe we should be just like flashing our cash. We don't have any cash. Or coins.
We have one soul coin. I'll show them a soul coin carefully.
Well,
Henny, like, may we enter?
You're flashing something.
Oh, well, no, I put my towel back on.
Oh, you did.
Thank you. But you are still at that angle. You can see it. You know?
Ghoul is so wise. Ghoul can see whatever he wants to see. So as you show, very good, as you show the soul coin, you hear the doors, or the revolving doors, just like, you hear a click, and they unlock.
I did it. Okay.
Oh, great. That was so easy.
All right, we go in.
So as you push through the revolving doors, you see... Do you know what? Initially, my description was you see discarded machinery and like piles of guns. But what you see is you see neat piles, neat stacks of guns, weapons, broken down war machines, an array of different pieces of kind of scrap metal, all kind of neatly piled up together, all looking kind of quite similar.
Can we see a couple arguing over the... arguing over kitchen fittings.
Yeah, you see a couple standing by some sinks and they're trying to like load a box onto a trolley and you just hear someone just be like, please, just let me do it. Can I do it? Thank you.
Oh, this tree is hell.
you walk around and you see, yeah, there are meatballs being served and...
I grab some pieces of paper and those little Helkia pencils and just start writing down ID numbers for all the different products.
And as you pick up the pencil and you start writing down, you can't write what you want to write. The pencil just writes horrible, profane things, different methods of torture, and just like really rancid hell things.
I don't want this anymore. Can I grab one of the, you know, they used to have the tape measures that you get for free as well?
Yeah.
Can I grab one of the tape measures instead?
Yeah, it slaps you.
This is so unnecessary.
Yeah, it's hell Kia. It's just
it's just trying to make your life hell.
And then actually, yeah, the tape measure like unfurls to like your height and like stands up next to you and measures you and it just goes,
not very tall, are you?
Not true. And I step away and I just stand behind Eric and just put my head down. Really insecure. I am the tallest, aren't I, Eric?
You certainly are the tallest. Look around.
Yeah. Fuck you. Fuck you, stupid tape measure.
And the tape measure sort of waltzes off, very proud of itself.
Right, does anyone know how to build a car?
Well, as you're looking around...
We don't know what a car is, do we?
No, you know, it's a powered chariot. Let's call it that.
A powered chariot. You see one thing that does catch your eye, hunched over a machine, seemingly a car, an unfinished car. You see a small imp wearing a welder's mask, welding on the car.
Oh, hang on a second. I think I might know who this is.
Who's it going to be?
I go up and I just tap on the shoulder.
Yeah, it's wearing metal shoulder pads.
It's so sharp. And,
yeah, it lifts its welding mask and it just goes, well, 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 if it ain't the Happy Boys.
Ah, who's this?
Oh, it's you.
Yeah, it's me, Booch.
Hello, Booch.
How you doing,
Lovely.
Booch?
I'm good. How you guys doing? My brothers told me you were coming down here, so I've been expecting you.
Oh, yeah, we're a pretty big deal in hell.
You really are.
Do you know how to build a car?
I certainly do.
Could you help us?
Oh, you come to the right place to build a car, sure.
But, Booch, we do not just need a car. We will need the fastest vehicle you have ever made.
Oh, you want to join the race, huh?
We want to win the race.
Oh, you think you can win the race against Commander Girl, huh?
Yeah.
Well, we need to.
We only if we had an engineer who was up to it.
Oh, nice. Yeah, roll a persuasion check with advantage.
No, absolutely not. I roll 2 threes.
Oh. 2 threes. Yeah, but still, Bougie just like loves that you've appealed to his ego. Oh. He's just like, I'm kind of like here in the narrative to help you anyway. So that kind of role was superfluous. I'm going to help you anyway.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Wow. A meta engineer.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
How many people enter the race?
Oh, you get loads of different teams, you know. Sometimes it's just two teams. It can be one-on-one race. Sometimes it can be up to 20 teams. It's just whoever's buying in. You guys want to get to the portal, right? That's your guys' kind of thing.
Yes.
So do we have to... Has anyone beaten Commander Girl before in a race?
Nope.
Can we just like... Could you just give us directions and we'll just go the long route?
Yeah, if you want to lose the race.
But then we just get to the portal and just step in.
We need her help to get through, though.
Oh, she has to give us like permission.
You know, like the rules of the world that kind of been set up through the last five layers? The Archdevil kind of has to let you go through.
I'm not listening because I'm literally currently wrestling 5 tape measures. I'm trying to like strangle them because I'm furious.
Yeah, they're just like...
tiny boy.
Oh, God.
Well, it may never have happened before. Maybe no one has ever beaten Commander Girl in all the history of hell, but I think the Happy Boys, with their absolute lack of knowledge and experience, will do it.
Now, what's a car?
All right, so first of all, you're going to have to get the terminology right, okay? It's called a war racer.
Okay,
war racer.
You're going to have to build a war racer. Now, Commander Girl knows that you guys are already here. She's going to come and she'll issue you the challenge. But in order to enter the race, you need to build a war racer, right?
Right. Yes.
So you come to the right place. And we're going to build a war racer together. Cue music.
Montage of making a war racer.
He really is a meta engineer. Yeah. Great.
And yeah, the tape measures started picking up instruments and just playing lots of fun music.
Nice. Yeah.
All the while just kind of coyly looking at Glubrick being like,
small boy.
Okay, so there are 4 stages to building the War Racer, and each character will take charge of a section, and you'll need to roll a skill check in order to see how good your section of the car is, right?
Mm.
The 4 sections are speed, armor, handling, and attack. But in terms of building, what you need to do is you need someone, one character will be on designing and blueprints. So like designing the car. Another character will be on gathering resources. So going out into Helkia, picking up all of the parts and bringing them back. And the final 2 characters will be in charge of construction.
It's Scrap Heap Challenge. That's what it is.
It's Scrap Heap Challenge. Nice. Sort of meets Supermarket Sweep in IKEA. So yeah, we need a character on design and blueprints, gathering resources, and 2 characters on construction.
I'd like to offer myself as team leader.
please.
For design and blueprints.
I think you're the man, Eric, the man with the mind. You've built many machines and things before, right?
I have indeed.
I would like to take this little guy for a spin. So I offer myself up to go out and get the pieces.
The slowest gathering of resources. Very Scrap Heap Challenge. The person who can't drive the little fucking motorbike.
Yeah. And yeah, as you say that, the turtle kind of looks at you and just gives you another solemn nod. And he's like, I'm okay, baby.
Glubrick, you and me on construction.
We're going to do this. You and the tallest guy in this building. And then I just pick up a hammer.
Nice. Okay, you're great. Welcome. We'll come back to you with the hammer. We're going to start with design and blueprints. So Booch comes over to you, Eric, and is just like, all right, let's get designing.
I think the most important thing, of course, is speed if we're to win. I suggest we put all our armor at the rear of our craft and get a head start quickly with a burst of speed.
Assuming we'll be
maximum armor at the back, nothing at the sides and the front, and just go for it.
It's very bold.
Nothing around the people driving it.
No, assuming that we will always be in the lead. Let's just go in confidence.
Well, if we have a rocket launch that gives us a fast start, and then we just keep going.
It is the high-risk, high-reward method.
High-risk, high-reward. What do you think?
Well, I think that's a great idea.
I love it, Eric.
Just, Booch, are there any obstacles, or is it just a straight race?
Yeah, I'm going to give you a piece of advice real quick. So the race is, think of it more of a marathon than a sprint. It's not like a drag race. It's like, you know, over maybe 3, 4, 5 episodes.
Right. I see. So maybe the opposite. Lots of armor, lots of weapons. Slow. Slow and steady wins the race, like your tortoise.
I like it. Let's make a tortoise car.
Haven't we just gone the opposite of going really fast, though? Now we're just going really slow.
What about going somewhere in the middle? What about being good at everything?
These are definitely all the options.
I think that's great. Yeah, let's just be good at everything. That's
good,
really positive.
At everything. We'll be fast and well armored and maneuverable and good at attack.
Thank God we put you in charge of design.
Yes. I'm
Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Over this.
I like how you're exploring all the options. Yeah. It's good.
So for this, these are straight intelligence checks. Okay. So Adam, will you roll me 4 straight intelligence checks? And we're going to add the total together.
15 plus 17... 25. I rolled a natural 20.
Ooh.
So natural 20s are doubled. Oh. So you've actually got... So rather
25
than 20,
is 50.
So you got 50, yep.
And then my last roll is 9.
So great, Eric. That is a total of 91.
Ooh.
Which is a very good score. So can you just describe to me, you know, what the process of designing the car looks like for you and Booch?
I roll out the plans in front of me and I use very elaborate paperweights.
Yeah, Booch approves. He's happy with that. He's just like, nice paperweights, man. You bring these yourself?
Yes, skulls. Very heavy.
Heavy skulls, nice. Weight of intelligence.
Yes, and you feel them looking at you, almost goading you on.
Nice, nice. And Eric is sort of like scribbling away,
Booch,
drawing designs.
Booch, put your coffee down.
Ah, oh, sorry, I gotta keep wired, you know?
There's coasters there. Don't put them on the blueprint.
You know what? I came up with the design. If I get coasters and put walls on them, you can put things in them.
Brilliant.
That's a cool design, right?
Get rid of these designs. Let's work on that.
I'm being distracted.
Great. So the design is complete. Next up, we have gathering resources.
Mm-hmm.
So in order to build the war racer around Helkia, you've got to scavenge Helkia for components, you know, like metal plating, gears, wheels, weapons, engine parts, all that kind of stuff. And you'll be doing this based on Eric's designs. Now, luckily for Ghoul, this is 4 survival checks, which I believe are wisdom based and you're proficient in.
Whoa, heavy proficiency.
Oh, excellent.
That's very good.
Oh, yes. And on Elvis Mesley, I now have a +9.
Oh ho! Okay, so roll me 4 survival checks.
+9, so good.
That's very good.
19.
Whoa!
+9 is 23. 28. 28, yeah. 16 +9, 26, 25. 20 plus 9, 29.
Natural 20.
Yeah.
Doubled.
Oh my God.
Whoa.
Wow.
It's so it will be the natural 20 plus your modifier doubled.
So 29 doubled. So 58.
58, nice.
And then 11 plus 9, 20.
20,
those are
nice.
High numbers.
Those are very high numbers.
Well. Wow.
Ghoul, that is a total of 131. That is an insane score.
Insane.
So could you just explain to me what it looks like with Ghoul and the tortoise kind of going through the scrapyard and what kind of stuff they're picking up?
So Ghoul, he's having a lovely time riding Kelvis. I think he keeps kind of like clicking for different people when he encounters somebody. He just like clicks and tries to get them to load whatever they have onto the back. He's tied like a sheet of something to Kelvis's leg. So there's like a almost kind of...
Like a trailer.
Yeah, like a trailer.
Yeah, very cool.
And he's just like piled loads of things. So yeah, just loads of different bits of
just because I want to put Ellie the actor under the pressure, what car parts do you pick up?
I pick up a gauge. a 9-inch gauge.
Very
I pick
good.
Up a helmet chaser. I pick up a wheel.
Got
to have some wheels. Yeah,
just
a few,
one or
a
more,
few wheels.
More loads of wheels. Great.
I pick up a metastasizer.
Wow,
what does that do?
Part of your chemotherapy treatment.
Oh my God,
it's a chemo car.
The car took such a dark turn.
Is that to do with cancer?
Metastasizing is when a tumor lets off a bit that goes somewhere else.
Everyone's just connected to a drip while going around in this car. That is horrible.
I thought it was something to do with chewing.
Masticator.
Oh yeah, that's it.
Oh dear!
Oh God, that's very funny.
That's so good.
Oh God!
And as you bring all the stuff, as you bring all the stuff back, Booch is like, "Yeah, man, that's nice. A 9-inch gauge, some wheels, and what is this for?"
Exactly sure.
All right. Well, you know what? I could fit anything to anything, so we'll make it work somehow.
So our car is going to be used in cancer treatment.
Is it an actual thing, though?
No.
Oh, right. Okay.
When something metastasizes, this is not staying in. Metastasizing is when a cancer spreads from one part of the body to another.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, I know that, but that's not an actual thing.
No, so a metastasizer is something that spreads from one
cancer.
Place to another.
Okay,
presumably.
Great. Yeah, yeah. And so Booch is like, what's this? Wait, is that a metastasizer?
I think so.
Nice. So we can use this to spread power from one part of the car to another.
Yes.
That is very good.
That's very good.
So if you want to like lose power in the engines and power up your weapons, you can do that. It's a great thing to pick up. Nice. Nice.
Yeah, I knew that. I knew that.
Yeah, way to turn it on its head. Nice. Okay. And finally, we have the construction of the car.
Oh, very good.
Can we do ours together?
Yeah. So you will roll them both together,
right.
And you will work together. So Glubrick and Henley will work together to build the War Rider, and one player will make four rolls for an athletics check, lifting all the heavy bits and putting them into place.
Oh, I'm a strong boy.
Following the designs,
yeah.
And the second player will make rolls for sleight of hand
for
the dexterity of putting them all together.
This is done very
this
well
is
for
perfect.
Us, isn't it?
This
Should
is
we
perfect.
Switch it around just for bands?
This is the most organized the Happy Boys have ever.
Yeah, we're really good at no Glubrick. Hand me that wrench.
And my tail just perfectly picks up the wrench and just swings it to you.
And we roll. I got a natural one.
Okay, so
whoops.
The rule for a natural one, so two things obviously are going to happen. One, you're going to have to roll at the wild magic table.
Goody.
And two, what this means is that your sleight of hand score total shields will be halved.
Oh
God. And
so
I roll
before
on the
you carry
table?
On rolling, we'll do the magic tip. So roll me a d20 to start with on the extended table.
8.
So you are going to roll on the common effect table.
Okay.
So roll me a d100.
98.
Ooh. Okay, so... Fuck, okay. You need to make me a DC 15 constitution saving throw.
Oh, I don't think that's my forte... I got 12.
You are instantly turned to stone.
Oh, God! So I'm doing this on my own.
So you'll now do
long?
All the checks on your own.
Oh, my God. I've immediately turned to fucking stone.
See, we knew it was going too well.
So I say, throw me that wrench, Glubrick, and you throw it, and as it reaches me, it just clatters off my now stone hand, and I'm just frozen.
He was afraid of everything, now literally petrified.
Ah, oh, very good.
Nice. Inspiration.
Very good. Yeah.
Really, yeah.
So I tell you what we do. Here it says, the target must repeat a saving throw at the end of their turn. So, Glubrick, you're going to carry on doing athletics checks, and each turn, you're going to have to roll another saving
right.
throw.
Because we're going to need something, because otherwise you're just throwing things at a rock man.
Yeah, I think I'm completely...
You've got great designs, we've brought all the equipment, you're picking it all up and throwing it to me, and I'm just standing there not building a car.
And I think I'm completely unaware. Yeah. To me, this is like a really hot montage of a man being a man, like, you know, doing like the kind of being a mechanic, and he's like sweating.
Yeah, and he's got a Diet Coke.
And he's like grabbing Henley's towel and like using it to wipe his face and just like throwing it away. That kind of thing, you know, hot and sexy.
I'm gonna say you can't grab the towel because the towel's turned to stone.
Oh, he's just seeing himself in the face with a rock.
You're just wiping your face on Rocky Henry.
Yeah.
Still not noticed. Okay, you, then, over to you.
So the first roll I did was 24.
24, nice.
27. 13. 17. Done very well.
Great. So that is a total of 81 for your athletics checks.
That was not as good as I thought. That's going to be like, okay.
Now let's go back to the car crash that is Henley Whispers. So you're currently turned to stone. So I'm going to say you need to roll me another constitution saving throw.
Great. That's five.
Five. Oh, so you miss another one. Roll me another constitution saving throw.
That's a seven.
It's another one. You've got one more chance. Hey,
come God. On. Okay, that one's a 19.
Okay, great. So just at the last possible minute, with Glubrick chucking everything around, you get one roll to add to your total, Henley, which will be hard.
Henley unpetrifies and looks around and realises, oh, fuck, I'm the one letting the team down. Shit, it's the apprentice and I'm the bad one. And he goes, oh, I'll quickly make a car. And I roll a four.
Is that a sleight of hand,
Ken? Oh, okay, so plus eight, so 12. Halved to six total.
So Henley's got six total. And so Boots comes over and is just shaking his head. And he's just like, you know, just when I thought you guys were a total band of fucking idiots. What the hell is wrong with you? You know what, Glubrick? Not bad. Henley, that's you bad. Should be ashamed of yourself.
I was a rock. I was a rock.
I know, I saw.
Yeah, I've been like facing the other way, throwing all this stuff to you. I turn around and be like, what the fuck, Henley?
I made a car.
What you it's a mess.
It's a pile of things.
You've tried to make a bike. You've
so
got
it's only one element of the car that is totally useless.
Yeah.
So
the engine.
Yeah. The car. The car has been built, sort of. And I'm going to say, even though, like, whatever happens, no matter how low you roll, like, you do build the car. It is built. Mm. So you can allocate now your numbers of 91, 131, 81, or 6. And I've got some more mechanics, which are more D&D nerd math. And you can allocate them to speed, armor, handling, or attack.
So it's not like we add up all the points and divide the points. We have to allocate those four...
into the four categories.
So something has to be six.
So yes. either we're incredibly slow or incredibly vulnerable, or we can't turn at all. We just go in straight lines. Or we can't attack others.
Okay, I think we should not attack others.
Yeah. I think of all the ones.
All about defense.
Well, yeah, because we might be able to attack ourselves. Like, we've got some spellcasters in our group, so you could, like, throw some missiles.
We can attack.
I can just throw a spear.
Yeah. Who needs weapons when you've got the greatest living weapon on Earth? Me. I'm the greatest living weapon. It's fine.
I heard that you covered yourself in beetles and then went in a box for days and then you got scared and didn't sleep for a whole month.
That is a vicious rumor, I'll have you know. I have no problem with beetles. There aren't any beetles around. There's one there. There's not a beetle here. I know there's no beetles here. There's nothing to be afraid of. Don't try and tell me there's beetles here.
Hold on. Roll opposing deception checks. You roll a deception check or do you roll an insight check, Henley?
16.
I got a 3.
Oh, yeah. You can't fool me, ghoul. Don't Trick or trickster.
Spider!
Nice. So, yeah, what are you adding your values to?
Okay, so we've got the 6 on the...
On handling?
Handling.
No, attack.
No, attack.
Sorry, yeah.
We do need to be able to turn left and right.
That is true, yes. We will need some maneuverability.
I think 1-3-1 on the engine, maybe? Is that speed?
Speed, yeah, yeah.
We're prioritizing speed, we think?
Well, we said marathon, didn't we?
I thought we were going to prioritize armor.
Oh, yeah, let's prioritize armor.
We're going to take the tortoise route.
Okay.
Yeah.
So 1-3-1 on armor.
So 91 on speed.
Sounds good.
And what was the other score?
81.
One on handling.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
They're all good.
While this is all happening, Glubrick is first time properly mad. He's having to control himself not to go into the rage because he's so annoyed at how hard and sweaty he worked.
Yeah.
And he's just looking at Henley and he's just like,
poor
the
Glubrick.
Fuck was that, man?
Poor Glubrick. I'm sad for him.
Aww.
Wait, what was that, Henley?
I was a rock, Glubrick. I was a rock, okay?
Oh, well, that's just no excuse. I'm sorry. You should switch on. You should turn on. And you should really turn up, man. You need to switch on. Do you hear me?
All right, Glubrick. Easy.
Do you think I'm small? Like, just...
You're big Glubrick. Big boy.
Yeah. And I look over to the corner and there's just some you know, tape measure just sitting in the corner giggling at me.
you can't let them in, man. You can't let them, they're messing with your mind.
You're right. And I swing my tail around and cling onto your tail.
Yeah, okay.
Don't fight, guys. We have to be united as a team.
You're right.
So now that your vehicle is finished, here are your stats. The workings out available on request. So your speed will be 90 feet per round.
Oh, wow.
Which is pretty good.
That works
quick. Oh, yeah,
So your HP is straight. So the health points of your car is 131,
right.
Which is really good. That also means your AC is 30.
Oh, wow.
Whoa.
So very heavily armored car.
Okay.
Your handling... So if you're going to do crazy handling moves, you have to pass a DC of 12. So it's quite low.
Okay.
So your handling's pretty good.
Yeah, that's all right.
And your attack of 6 means you get one weapon that you can add to your car.
Water cannon.
Now, I've got a list of weapons here, or you can have a water cannon, or you can invent your own weapon if you want. You've got Inferno Mines, Infernal Flamethrower, Soul Harvester Blades, Demonic Ballista, Infernal Gatling Gun, Cursed Harpoons, Soul Siphon Beam, Eldritch Pulse Emitter, Doomsday Rocket, or Chaos Cannon. Actually, you can't have Doomsday Rocket or Chaos Cannon because they count as two weapons.
Oh, you tease.
Well, we're going quite fast, so maybe mines is a really good idea. We can drop them behind us.
Mines is good. Do we want something that we can use in any direction? Booch. In the rules of this race.
Yeah.
Are you only allowed to use what's in your war racer? Or can one use one's own spells?
You can use your own spells, yeah.
Oh, okay.
What about a harpoon? Then we can grab other people and steal their things.
So the harpoons are, they have chains attached to them. The harpoons can be fired at enemy vehicles or creatures. On a hit, the target is restrained and your war machine can reel it in.
Oh, yeah.
And maybe we can do that and we can harvest other war machines.
Yeah, we can make a giant one.
Yeah, something that has some element of cunning to it.
Let's go with a harpoon. It's fun.
Harpoon? We're sold on harpoon?
Harpoon it is.
Harpoon.
Great. So with your mechanics as you're like building and turning to stone, Glubrick lifts a heavy harpoon and locks it on to the back of the vehicle.
To Henley and I'm just like, just leave it, I'll do it.
All right, if you wanted to come here. You wanted to come here, Glubrick.
Well, you wanted to go and get lunch first.
Well,
I just wanted to get in and get out. You've actually made this a bit longer.
Well, maybe if you'd had lunch first, you wouldn't be in such a bad mood.
Oh, and I put it on and I just get the trolley after having lifted the gun on and I just take it back. I'm taking this back. I'll meet you in the car.
Nice. Very good. Very good. So now that your war racer has been completed, congratulations, by the way. It's actually a pretty sick car. So finally, in the realm of Malbolge, they respect finesse and style here.
Of course they do.
You must decorate your vehicle however you see fit. And I will determine, like, if this gives you any extra stuff or if there's anything you want to add to the car, like, as long as it's not overpowered. And you also must name your vehicle. A name that will strike fear into your opponents.
Well, I think we're going for a tortoise theme, right?
Yes.
Are we? Yeah.
I like that.
The most threatening of all the animals.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How about Richard.
I like it.
Richard.
Richard
it is.
So you guys are calling your car Richard?
Yeah, Rich in well, Ode.
Yes.
Richard the Fast.
All right, Richard the Fast it is. And how do you want to decorate the car? You got unlimited colours, anything you want to do with it.
We should have a little crown because it's Richard the Fast.
Yeah, like a tortoise shell with a crown.
Really like gaudy gold and like diamonds everywhere.
Nice, gaudy gold and diamonds.
A coat of arms.
Hang on a second. What if we cover it in mirrors and then the sun would reflect off the mirrors and blind everyone else?
That's a great idea.
And I'm shaking because it's the smartest thing I've ever said.
You're going to pass out.
Roll me a constitution.
A giant mirror. I want a giant mirror.
You're not immune to your own ideas.
Yeah.
Oh, mate, 19.
19, yeah, your body shakes for a second and the brilliant idea comes out of your mouth and you just stop shaking and you just open your eyes and the turtle looks directly in your eyes and it's just like, mm-hmm. And the turtle's very proud of you.
Oh my God, I love this turtle.
So you've got your racer, Richard the Fast. You've decked it out with mirrors, which I'm going to allow actually. We're going to allow and we're going to...
Can we have gold and also in the interior, can it be red velvet?
Red velvet interior, nice.
Yeah.
And upon the front, a coat of arms, a tortoise upon a sable background, rampant.
Yep, it's on there.
Absolutely. Rampant tortoise. That's like up on its hind legs, yeah. Right? Yeah.
A rampant tortoise.
Ironically, really vulnerable in that position.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah,
yeah. Nothing about that worked.
Now, Richard the Fast is ready to roll. Who's driving?
Oh, yeah. We should work out our roles.
I am extremely dexterous, so
okay,
maybe
yeah.
I should be driving.
Henry.
Yeah. I'll take the driver's seat. I've earned it.
Turned himself to stone and now is driving.
Let's hope I don't turn myself to stone.
Can we
whilst
make sure
driving?
That in the somewhere in the vehicle, maybe towards the back, there's like a little turret that one could get out of so I could actually pop up and cast spells?
Yeah. I mean, you can have a convertible if you want. You can have
That's
an
great.
Open top.
Cast a
you can have whatever you like.
Maybe an open top.
Let's do an open top with
no,
the option.
People will chuck stuff in.
Yeah.
No, we want like a tank with a little. Hole.
Yeah,
nice. Yeah.
I guess I'm just sitting as a passenger.
So imagine what this thing looks like. It's like a tank with no gun. So yep. Just like a kind of sort of like a big metal tortoise, but covered in mirrors, right?
Yeah, nice.
Little seat at the front, little turret at the back for a wizard, and the harpoon gun maybe on a swivel at the top.
Yeah, nice. Great. And with Richard the Fast painted on the side. Nice. Go for a couple of go faster stripes.
Yeah.
Nice. Great. And what I'll say is because you're a metastasizer, what you can do is you can, at any point, you can use an action to move one of these scores into another category.
That's great.
That's so good. Oh, wow.
So if you're approaching like a hard corner and you need more steering, you want to lower the DC, you can spend an action to change it.
That's so good.
We can activate the metastasizer. Should we rename it though?
Power diverter.
Yeah, nice. Let's rename it to the power diverter. I'm driving the machine. Eric's going to be on spells and defenses. Ghoul, you're going to be in charge of moving power around when we need it. And Glubrick, you
are in charge of morale.
Yeah.
So I just check
we need a navigator.
Oh, navigator.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I'm really bad with directions. This should be awesome. So I'm in charge. Yeah, I start drawing my own map.
Great. As you're drawing your map. Yeah,
assuming there's a tower maybe round here, maybe.
Assuming everything. Yeah. Never seen
it's probably
the
an ocean. We're probably surrounded by an ocean.
Be cool if there was a dragon. Maybe a dragon.
Yeah, the dragon in the corner. Floating compass. Henley, as you jump in and you turn the key in the ignition, the engine roars to life and Booch claps and cheers as this great machine is rumbling and is waiting to be raced. And Booch rummages through a little satchel that he's got and he pulls out a small book and he opens it to reveal it is a sort of crudely drawn magical map and he hands it to Glubrick.
I've got my own one.
Okay, he folds
no,
the book.
No,
puts it away.
No, he doesn't know this.
No, it's gone. You have just lost the Vortex book.
Oh.
No.
And Boot says...
No, you
want to ride this train with me, pal?
We need...
And Boot just says, well, it was going to show you how to get to the portal, but you don't need it, so don't worry. And he puts it away.
Please, sir, he was only joking. He's not very funny.
No, we're on the sixth layer, and D... is playing a hard game now.
Yeah.
So oh, you're going to get a free gift and you said no to it.
Let this be a lesson to you, Chris.
Don't
try and make jokes on this comedy podcast.
Don't you dare. Don't you dare.
Okay.
But now the fun and games is that you are, Glubrick is navigating. So
great.
By the stars.
The what?
By the stars?
Can I go and speak to Booch?
Yeah, yeah.
Booch,
yeah.
I want to thank you on behalf of the Happy Boys for the excellent work that you have done here.
Oh, thanks, man. It's very kind of you.
I have nothing to give you, but come here and I will show you something.
All right.
That sounded seedy. I didn't mean it to be seedy.
Eric, what are you doing,
man? I don't want to get your hopes up.
All right.
Not a favor of that kind. But look, 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 look here. And I show him in the engine where I have carved his name.
Aww.
Aww.
On the side of the engine.
Oh, that's nice. Really nice. He's just like, oh, thanks, man. That's real nice of you. I see what you're doing. And he just slides the book over to you.
Yes, that's what I had in mind.
Making it sound really seedy. What did you want to happen?
And then he takes the book back and he's like, well, you don't want the book? I mean, I can just keep the book.
I love the book. Thank you.
All right, and he slides it back on.
Very good. I missed the whole conversation, so I'm looking at the book going, I wonder what this is.
So yeah, you just keep the book on you.
Yeah, I don't even tell them I've got it.
No. Great.
We've no idea what the book is.
Yeah. Don't even know what it is. Just go, okay, give me something in return.
At some point we'll discover we had a map the whole time.
Yeah. And so as all of this has happened, suddenly you feel the ground beneath you start to tremble. But the source of the tremor is not your mighty war racer. You soon realize that you can hear the deep rhythmic sound of drums.
Guys, this isn't on the map. I start drawing it quickly.
And from across the desert, from across the horizon, through the waves of the rising heat and sand, you can see dozens and dozens, maybe even hundreds of other war racers rumbling their way towards Helkia. And after what feels like only seemingly a few seconds, the enormous motorcade arrives with the drums still pounding in your ears. And dozens upon dozens of drivers are hanging out of their ramshackle makeshift cars of every shape and size. They're cheering and chanting. And you notice that all of the drivers appear to be lemurs, the kind of weird clay creatures from the first layer. And they are sort of like hanging out of the window with like cigarettes and cigars and like covered in like leather and chains and stuff. And at the front of the motorcade is a mighty, mighty monster truck. The wheels alone must be over 20 feet tall. And along the front of the truck, carved into the grill, are a giant set of metal teeth. And although you can't be sure, but you swear you can see the headlights are moving like eyes. Emblazoned on the side of the monster truck in bright electric pink writing reads Commander Girl. The door to the driver's side of the truck swings open and the music and the crowd fall silent. Gracefully and without any issue, a young woman drops from the truck and lands kicking up some sand. And before you see a slight contradiction, a very cool-looking devil, but she is so intimidating. Mm. And she's got kind of like one side of her head is like completely shaved with loads of like tattoos running down her skull.
That's so cool.
And she's got her hair braided all the way down to like the bottom of her back, and it's this like bright pink hair.
That's the kind of haircut that in real life would just intimidate me.
Understandably.
Oh, no, that person's way cooler than me.
Her armor is jet black and is like laced with these kind of cool pink veins. And on closer inspection, you see that her armor is actually made out of dozens and dozens, if not hundreds, of melted down soul coins.
Ooh.
And she stands staring at you, and holding in either hand, she just has two heavy drive chains from the engine of a car, and those are her two weapons. And as she walks towards you, they just drag through the sand.
Oh, that's very...
And she walks towards the Happy Boys and your car.
Oh my gosh.
And for a moment, everything seems to move in slow motion, and it feels like the entire layer is holding its breath. The devil looks at you, she cocks her head to one side, and she screams,
"Challenge!"
And the whole motorcade just goes,
oh, oh, oh.
And the crowd erupts with cheers and feral screams as Commander Girl walks over to you. She raises her hand and again silence falls across the entire crowd. She walks around Richard the Fast and she inspects it. And she turns to you and she says,
"So, what do you call it?"
Richard the Fast.
It's written on the side, can't you fucking read, idiot. Not commander, not a commander of words, I am.
Shut up. Jeez. You idiots want to hear about the other challengers or not?
Yes?
Yes. Who are the other challengers?
Oh. You'll see.
And around her, you see her clay devils. That's her team. Mm-hmm. And you hear the rumble of another engine. And a load of more teams kind of arrive from across the desert. And most of them are kind of like, you know, just random assortments of teams. One team is called Cannon Fodder. You know, that kind
nice.
Of vibe.
Yeah, yeah.
But there is one team of note that kind of catches your attention. And it's a team of seemingly dressed in sort of like sexy sailor outfits. And they're all different kind of genders, races, creeds, colors, everything. And the lead car pulls up and the driver's door flings open. And you see old Papa Crumble.
Whoa.
Gets out Papa. Of his car and just says,
"Hey, happy boys."
And he hands over a little coin to Commander Girl and just get back in his car. And one of the other teams is a load of hamsters just running in giant hamster wheels.
Wait, Papa Crumble, how have you been?
I ain't talking to you, happy boys.
What?
We accidentally killed Captain Pellew and got rid of his boat.
It's quite a grudge to hold. You
I
said
remember.
That kind of critical.
Well, I'm just pointing out that's why he's upset.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
Whoops. Yeah. Oopsie, I lean out of the window of our car and I shout, oopsie daisies! oopsie daisies, that's on me!
And Papa Crumble just looks to you and he says,
"If I win the race, I get another boat and I can get Captain Pellew back."
And he just slowly winds up the window and he tries to do it like in a really cool way, but it's like a manual one. And so he does it like really like
someone
jerkily.
Rolled low, am I right, guys?
What do the hamsters want from this race?
Yeah, one of the hamsters is just staring at you, Henley, and just like livid.
What did I do to hamsters?
You clapped.
You smashed two together. That's
do you remember?
No. Hang on.
Yeah, you threw them out of a window.
Those were some guys that.
Yeah, they were.
Oh, they got transformed into hamsters.
That is true.
These guys aren't hamsters. These are what were they? Orcs or something that got transformed into hamsters? Yeah, from the train. The ones that I threw them out the window and they survived and now they're here to race us.
Oh my God.
We've upset a lot of people.
Yeah.
Where are all our the friends that we've encountered?
Oh, no,
our
hamsters are coming home to roost, guys.
And Commander Girl turns to you and just says,
"Well, all the challenges are here. Are you ready to hear about the terms of the race, happy boys?"
Yes, thank you.
And
our spokesman.
You notice
so
that
awkward.
All of the other racers are going up to Commander Girl and handing over a soul coin.
I go over to Henley and start to try and take his.
No.
Henley, trust me, we need to hand that over.
I'm not handing over the soul coin of my child, no.
Excuse me, Commander Girl, do we need a soul coin to enter the race? Is that what's happening here?
That's right. One teeny tiny little soul coin. That's the buy-in. No coin, no race. No race, no portal.
Well, you can't have my child's soul coin, so other ideas.
Wait, there is no... What else can we do?
What about this bonsai? Picked it up in Helkia.
But it's more like 100% fake. Do you know what I mean?
It's plastic.
Fake. Yeah.
So Commander Girl sort of laughs.
Thanks, little one. Hey, good luck getting out of here.
And takes the bonsai, climbs back into the monster truck, and just starts the engine, and all the racers go to the start line.
Wait, guys, we need to buy in. We need to buy in.
Seems to be beginning. The race is beginning without us.
Are we in the race or not?
No, you haven't bought into the race. You're not in the race.
If I put my son's soul coin on the line and we lose this race, he's gone forever, right?
Well, maybe not. We don't know. Anything could happen. But if we don't put him on the line, then we're never getting out of here.
Henley holds the coin in his hand and looks at it wistfully, full of wist.
Oh, God.
Wist brimming out of his ears. And he says, "I believe in the happy boys. I believe we can win this race."
What if we don't then? Then we've lost your child to some demon.
That's the problem. You've hit the nail on the head there, Glubrick. But the thing is, I mean, I could put my own soul up, but then you'd be down a man. I think we're going to have a better chance of winning if we're all there.
You can't put your own soul on the line. You have a son, and you must protect your son, and you must not give him away. That is what is making you a better man, Henley. That is what will get you out of hell.
But Eric, what are we supposed to do? The race is about to start. I think I have to do this. I think I'll put him on the line and I will trust in my friends that we will get him back.
I'm sure we can get him back, Henley. Anything can happen in hell.
So I walk over to Commander Girl's monster truck holding Gregathy's soul coin in my hand.
And yeah, she gets out of the truck and she jumps down and she holds out her hand and just staring at you. And are you going to hand over the soul coin of your son?
Oh. That's bold, mate. That is bold.
Gregathy. Has it got his face on it? It does, doesn't it?
Yeah, a little face.
But with a hole in it. So yeah. It's a bit grotesque.
Yeah, I drilled the hole right through his fucking eye.
Oh, Gregathy.
I look at the soul coin in my hand and I look at the arch devil. I can't do it.
You're not going to hand it over.
I don't think I can do it. I'm going to have to sacrifice something else. I'm going to have to give up myself.
No, you can't do it. But I can. And I take the coin.
Oh!
And I step up onto her truck.
Okay.
Again!
You've taken the coin and what do you do? You're going to Commander Girl.
Yeah, I stand there and I have a moment with the coin and I look down at the coin and then I turn and I flick the coin back to Henley.
Oh.
Okay.
And I turn to Commander Girl and I say, "You may take me."
Whoa!
Oh, okay. Shit.
And so, okay, so before anyone has a chance to react, she just goes,
"All right, have it your way, necromancer."
Snaps her fingers, and you turn into a soul coin.
Just before that happens, I go, "Wait, you might need this book."
Thank you for listening to another episode of Hell or High Rollers. I have been Dave Hearn. I am your GM. Ellie Morris as Ghoul. Adam Megiddo as Eric Sanguinius. Henry Shields as Henley Whispers. And of course, the wonderful Chris Leask as Glubrick Bumbledung. The voice at the advert at the top of the show was the incredibly talented Darren DePaul. And the archdevil Commander Girl was voiced by this simply brilliant April Hughes. Just to say again, thank you so much for all your support over this past year. It has been absolute joy making these episodes and telling this story. It's been so much fun and we really could not do it without all of your support. If you are showing your support by listening to this podcast, thank you. If you're desperate to show more support, head on over to our Patreon page where you can sign up for all kinds of extra goodies. And also, I believe there's a free option where you get free access to our Discord. I have no idea how that works, but I'm pretty sure it's available to you. Get on over to our Patreon page and sign up for those extra bits. And while you're there at the Patreon page, you can meet legends like Ian Amorosi, Connell Laird, Callum Savage, Sophie M, Michael Larson, Bethany, Bethany Cook, Mike Adamite, Joy McCullough Caranaza, and Leopold Hughes. The show is produced by Gareth Tempest, and the music you're listening to is by Max Rutter. Thank you, and good night. You'll have a hell of a story to tell. You're heading back to life, back to the grind, but it ain't that like you knew so well. Keep telling myself to stay strong. You know I ain't done nothing wrong. I can feel it in my soul that this ain't where I belong.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com. Code PROGRAM.